Life is full of milestones and stepping stones, right? A milestone is like an achievement, an event. It's something you earned, something you worked for, accomplished. It marks a significant moment in your life. A milestone, a stepping stone, propels you to the next level, to the next stage or the next page, or sometimes we say the next chapter in your life, right? Helps you move forward. Sometimes milestones are also stepping stones, such as confirmation and graduation. It's not the end. It's simply moving on forward, gaining what you've learned through that time. This morning, we're going to look at 7 stepping stones in the Christian life. These are stones of worship, of witness, and the Word of God that propel us through this life and on into Jesus' eternal kingdom, we pray, right? That is the goal. The first stepping stone is this. Hang on to the cross. Hang on to the cross. I had a seminary professor once who said, you know, in this world, even in theology, you're going to hear some people say this over here. You're going to say other people say, no, it's this over here. And you're going to be like, whoa, they both sound maybe true. I don't know. He said, in those moments, hang on to the cross. We all have these moments, right? Different days, different times, we're like, Lord, or we just hear this stuff in the world and it's confusing. Hang on to the cross. So 2 years ago in July, we were at the Lutheran Brethren Youth Convention in Estes Park, Colorado. Estes Park of the Rockies. I know some other people here have been there. In their gift shop, Betsy got a cross about this big. It was smooth, you know, and it was formed so you could hold it in your hand. It's called a comfort cross. And I'd be holding it right now and showing you it if we could have found it at home instead of describing it. It's somewhere over there. But it's meant to do that. It's like at the times when you're like, hold on, hang on to the cross. A healing cross, a comfort cross. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2. The Apostle Paul says, "For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." You know, Paul writes and talks about a lot, even in the Bible. And then he says, "But I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." You know, Paul, again, he covers a lot of territory, but he always comes back to the cross. It's all about the cross. And in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, he says, "May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." That's a whole another sermon sometime. "Through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world through the cross of Jesus Christ." I will cling to the old rugged cross. I know you want to keep saying or singing the next part because it's part of that hymn, but just stop right there for now. I will cling to the old rugged cross. The second stepping stone is hold on to God's Word. Hold on to the Bible. Hold on to the Word of God. You know, I'm talking about the cross, about hanging on to the cross. How do we even know what the cross is? How do we know about it? 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the message of the cross," the message of the cross, "is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the very power of God." We know about the cross because there's a message about the cross, right? Now, why do we believe such a message? Hopefully you've heard the message of the cross. Why do we believe it? Romans 10:17. "Consequently, faith," that is believing in that message, "faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ." The message of the cross is heard through God's word, the message of Christ in the Bible. Why is it important to hold on to the word of God? Is it important? Why is it important? A number of reasons. One is for our very salvation, that is, the saving of our souls for eternity. I think everyone here knows enough to know that this life isn't it. I mean, and also that this life doesn't last forever in this world, in this body as we know it. Right? Salvation. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 2 says, by this gospel you are saved. And when it says that, it means eternally. Eternally saved. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise you have believed in vain. Again, it's not, well, 10 years ago I heard it, I believed it, and now I carry on with my life and I don't care about the word of God anymore. Paul says, you heard the gospel, the message of the cross. It has saved you. God has saved you through the hearing of that if you hold firmly to it. Why else is it significant? Holding on to God's word is the only way that we can be effective witnesses for Jesus Christ in this world. In Philippians 2, verses 14 through 16, it says, do everything without grumbling or arguing. It's another good reason to hold on to God's word. Do everything without grumbling or arguing. Anyone here accomplish that? We need God's word, right? So that you may become blameless and pure. Anyone here blameless and pure? We talked about our confession time. Through God's word. Children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Anyone think that the world today is warped and or crooked? I see a hand. I see you. This was also true 2,000 years ago. Ever since sin came into Adam and Eve in the garden, this world, this every generation has been warped and crooked. I keep breaking this up. I should just read through. Do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. We, God's children, believers in Jesus Christ, in this warped and crooked generation of this world, shine like stars in the sky, not on our own. It's not our light. It says, as we hold firmly to the word of God. Hold firmly to the word of God. So how do you hold on? How do you hold on to the word of God? You eat it. Did he say read it? I said eat it. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is led by the Spirit out into the wilderness. It says the desert, away from civilization. He's alone. He's on his own for 40 days, 40 nights. And during that time, Jesus doesn't eat. His body is literally starving. And at that point, the devil, Satan, comes to Jesus and tempts him, tests him three times. And the first test, the devil says to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus hasn't eaten for 40 days. He's starving. His body needs food. Jesus says to the devil, it is written. And he quotes from Deuteronomy chapter 8. He says, it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Your soul needs God's word more than your body needs food. Did you hear that? Now, how long can your body survive without food? Not real long. You need to eat, and most of us, probably all of us, eat every day. If this is it, meaning you come to church, this is the feeding time right here, by the way. This is feeding and eating God's word, the preaching and hearing of his word. But do you just eat one meal for the week on Sunday, a big meal, just gorge yourself, and then the rest of the week you don't eat anything? No. Our daily bread, Every day, that's why I say eat it. Open the Bible, read a verse. Read a verse. Take it in. Read a chapter. Hang on to the cross. Hold on to God's word. The third stepping stone is press on to win the prize. As you hang on, as you hold on, we are to press on. Philippians 3, chapter 3, verse 12, says, "Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Press on. The idea, the thought behind this verb, press on, is yes, there's this goal, there's this objective, but it's also what's in here, the drive, the desire, the purpose to go after that goal, to press on to reach it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, the Apostle Paul again writes with this running metaphor for pressing on. He says, "Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever." We do it to get a crown that will last forever. "And exchange it someday for a crown that will last forever." Now, this metaphor for running the race that Paul uses, this works for some people. I'm gonna look at Ashley for one. She's a runner. Others of you who run and train, perhaps you get that. For others of us, sometimes it's hard just to get out of bed in the morning, let alone go running. I saw some nods. What he's talking about here, the point is perseverance. Press on. Along with this sense of urgency and importance, hang on, hold on, press on, right? Every day. Now, if all this talk, even just hearing about it, makes you feel a little tired, press on, run on. I don't know. I have some more good news for you. Isaiah chapter 40, starting at verse 28, says this. "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary." You know that? God never tires. "And his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak." Weary, weak, even to press on, God gives the strength. Goes on, it says, "Even youths, even young people grow tired and weary, and young people stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." Hang on to the cross. Hold on to God's word. Press on to win the prize. The fourth stepping stone is lean on the Lord's presence. Lean on the Lord. There's a Jackson Browne song from 1977. All I know is this one line, and many of you probably recognize this. And the rest of the words, I have no idea. But the one line is, "Running on empty, da-da-da-da, running." That's all I know. You know that song? Some of you, yeah. Jackson Browne. When you're running, pressing on with the Lord, leaning on Him, looking to Him, putting your hope in God who does not tire or weary, you're never, ever running on empty. You're always running full. Thanks, Christina, for that smile. Jackson Browne song, 1977. Yeah. The only way to follow these stepping stones, right, and to press on and keep going, the only way is actually to lean on the Lord. All of this is not about, it's not even about you in a sense, meaning your own strength. It is all about Him. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. And yes, I cheated this week. So normally, well, I even have some. This is from last week, the tabs, the color tabs sticking out of my Bible. I put tabs in there so I don't spend all morning just paging through as I'm looking up. But this morning, I have so many, I had to just print them out. So here they are. So Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, many of you could say this from memory as well. Trust in the Lord with a little bit of your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge, trust, and submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. Growing weary, growing tired, going off the path, lean on the Lord. All the strength comes from Him. All of it. You know, right in the middle of Psalm 23, the most well-known popular psalm and one of the most well-known scriptures in the Bible, right? The 23rd Psalm. There's a reason for that. It's so comforting. It's only 6 verses long. And if you look at the text in your Bible, right in the middle, part of verse 4, it changes from the third person, the Lord, third person, is my shepherd, to the second person, you, speaking to the Lord, for you are with me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Because I'm leaning on my own understanding? No. One reason. You, Lord, are with me. That's encouraging, isn't it? You know, encouragement, sometimes we think it's just cheering somebody on from afar, from the stands, right? Go, go, you can do it. Godly encouragement, real encouragement, is not saying go, go to somebody else, but saying go, for I'm going with you all the way. I am right here beside you, with you, giving you strength, holding you up. Lean on me all the way. That's encouraging. Not go, you can do it. Joshua 1:9. This is the Lord speaking. He says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. If the verse ended there, we'd be like, okay, go. Don't be afraid. I'll try. It's not the end of the verse. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Period. The Lord your God will be with you, is with you wherever you go. Period. That's the encouragement. And I mentioned from Matthew 28, the end of that gospel, Jesus said to his disciples, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Period. Go, make disciples. No. It goes on. He says, for surely, truly, I am with you, even to the end of the age. Go. For I am with you. Lean on the Lord's presence. The fifth stepping stone is keep on living in Christ. Now, we've come to the fifth stepping stone, and I have yet to mention any Greek words. The New Testament was originally written in Greek, and I like to look at the Greek because there's often nuances or even ideas, concepts we don't see or at least pick up in the same way in English. And Colossians 2:6, Andrew's verse, in English we say, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him. The Greek word behind the word live is peripateo. That sounds like a word we have in English, peripatetic. A peripatetic is a person who is continually walking around. Peri means around, pateo, to walk. The word literally means to walk around. And I like when you look it up, it actually says to tread all around. Tread all around or walk at large. I like that. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue, keep on walking at large in Him. Treading all around, living your life in Christ. Rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. The Holy Spirit, who is here right now, And is in every heart of people here who believe in Jesus Christ. He is here. He gives us all of this. Galatians 5, verse 25 says, since we live by the Spirit, peripateto, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. You ever walk along and have a strong gust of wind at your back? It's like, whoa. And those next several steps, it feels like the power didn't come from you because it didn't. It came from the wind at your back. Spiritually speaking, that is the Holy Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. The sixth stepping stone is love on your neighbor. You know, love on. You hear that phrase today. A long time ago, I don't think we talked quite that way, but now we hear love on someone. But here it's love on your neighbor. There's a reason I put this sixth and not first, because if we just come right out and say, love your neighbor, or love, we tend to think of feelings, of emotion. We tend to think of what the world defines as love, which could be all sorts of things. So the reason I put it later is because, again, like Proverbs 3:5, don't lean on your own understanding even of what love is, but trust in the Lord and His love. So when I say, and when the Bible says love your neighbor, it means a godly, biblical type of love. You say, well, what is that? It does involve service. It does involve helping someone, for sure. Treat them as you would like to be treated yourself. But godly biblical love, one of the best definitions is 1 John 4:10. It says, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. True love, meaning godly love, always connects to God and, again, always connects to and takes us to the cross. This is love. To love your neighbor involves sharing God's love. I mean, it's one thing to help somebody out in this life again, but it's temporary. It's a whole nother thing to say, you know, God sent His Son to die on the cross for your sins. Yes, you have to confront sins here, right? So that by believing in Him, trusting in Him, receiving that good news, your sins are completely forgiven, all of them, in Christ Jesus, by Him on the cross. And that wasn't it. He rose again on the third day, conquered death. He conquered death. So that through Him, you will not perish eternally, but live forever in His kingdom. That's love. It's connected to, and it might begin with, you know, helping out, serving. That is love as well, right? Galatians 5:22. It's God and His Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love is the first one mentioned. We go a few verses back in Galatians 5. It says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Serve one another humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Wow. Love your neighbor as yourself. In the Red Book, Luther's Catechism, question 57 says, who is your neighbor? The answer, I think everyone here probably knows it. Who's your neighbor? One word, everyone. You remembered your catechism. Everyone. Yeah. So love your neighbor begins with those closest to you. You see every day, perhaps your family. Love them. Love your neighbor. It includes your actual neighbors who live around you that you see. It includes those you work with, go to school with, your neighbors. But you know who else is your neighbor? Your enemy. Those who persecute you. Starts with your family, goes all the way to your enemies, who are also your neighbors, who you are to love. Right? Whole other sermon here again. I'll just quote Jesus from Matthew 5. This is a Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Anytime you're agitated by any other person in your life, or worse, a true enemy, love them, pray for them, bless them, serve them. That is radical. That is Jesus. The seventh stepping stone, finally, is focus on Jesus Christ. These all go together, right? We say seven stepping stones as if they're like seven different things. They're all part of the one cornerstone. We sang that song, Jesus is the cornerstone. He is the foundation for all of this. It's all about Jesus. Hang on to the cross. Hold on to the word of God. Press on to win the prize. Lean on the Lord's presence. Keep on living, walking around in Christ. Love on your neighbor. And, oh yeah, focus on Jesus. I say, oh yeah, because we... We get so easily distracted. Oh yeah, it's all about him. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and faint. How do we lean on the Lord? Fix your eyes on Jesus. How do we hold on to the word? Fix your eyes on Jesus. How do you hang on the cross? Hang on to the cross. Fix your eyes on Jesus. You know, there's a story in Matthew chapter 14 about the disciples are in a boat on the Sea of Galilee. It's nighttime. It was a little stormy. It's a little rough. Jesus wasn't with them, but all of a sudden it's kind of hazy. In the hazy light, they see a figure. Looks like a person, a ghost, walking on the water toward them in the boat. They're afraid. When Jesus gets close enough, someone says, Lord, is that you? Jesus says, it is I. And they say, Lord, if that is you, Peter says this. He says, Lord, if that's you, tell me to come to you. Jesus is out there on the water. Jesus says, come. Peter, looking at Jesus, climbs out of the boat and starts to walk with his eyes fixed on Jesus. About halfway to him, the wind, the waves, Peter gets distracted. He looks away from Jesus, and what happens? He immediately goes down. He sinks and says, Lord, save me. He's in the water. Jesus grabs his hand, pulls him up, and says, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Peter, and what is doubt? It is taking your eyes off of the Lord. Lord, help me not doubt. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Hang on to the cross. In 1992, I was going to the University of Wisconsin, Eau Claire. It's on the swimming team. It was the Wisconsin State University Conference Championships. All the Wisconsin State schools in that division, not Madison, not the big one, in this conference meet. It was the 4x100 medley relay, backstroke, breaststroke, butterfly, freestyle. I was the freestyle anchor leg on our relay. Stevens Point, our arch rival, Eau Claire, Stevens Point. We were in the lead backstroke. We were still in the lead breaststroke. We started in the lead butterfly. Halfway through the butterfly leg, our guy, I could see his long arms start to tighten up. I could see it. He started to fade. Stevens Point, really good butterflyer, passed him, kept passing, extended their lead. It was about a full body length, which in swimming is like in 100. That's hard to make up. And I knew that their anchor leg on Stevens Point, he was only a freshman, but he had won the state high school 100 freestyle the previous year. He was fast. I was like, oh, Lord. I was like, get to the wall, to our butterflyer. But we're behind. Stevens Point, he goes in. I go in a body length behind. The first 50, the first half, I can peripherally see him underwater. Not that I'm really looking, but I can see him still ahead of me. We get to the third flip turn, which goes into the last stretch, the last length of the pool. And I'm feeling, I call it gerbil strokes. The lactic acid builds up in your muscles when you're really going strong and hard. And even after a lot of training, it happens. And I could feel it. It felt like I'm starting to swim like this, even though it doesn't look like that, but that's what it feels like. Last length, when we'd flipped, I could see he flipped and turned ahead of me. But that last length, you know, underwater, there's a big black cross on the wall so that you can see where the wall is. And as I got to the halfway to go, about 12 and a half yards to go, I just fixed my eyes on the cross and I did not take another breath. And I did not look around. I just looked and I prayed. Literally, I'm swimming, praying, Lord, get me to the wall. And when I got to the wall and touched, I looked up and I saw our backstroker go like this. And I thought, well, wow, that's a good sign. And then I looked up at the board. I had out-touched that guy by less than a tenth of a second and had no idea until I looked up and saw everyone. You know. But I prayed. You know, just talking about it, I can feel my adrenaline start to kick in just a little bit. It's almost 30 years ago. But one of the dads from another one of our swimmers after the meet, he said, that was the best race I'd ever seen in my life. And it was probably one of the best I've ever swum. And I just focused and finished. Paul talks about that, about finishing the race. I can count so many others where I was like, I didn't finish. I didn't finish all the way like I was supposed to. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Psalm 16:8. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Hang on to the cross. Hang on to the cross. Hold on to God's word. Press on to win the prize. Lean on the Lord's presence. Keep on living, walking around in Christ. Love your neighbor. And through it all, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.